Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Did everybody have a good Thanksgiving? Leaving parts around. I'm still eating leftovers. Anybody else? So, yeah, still some, of course. Now what? Now it's like, get ready for Christmas, right? Got to get a Christmas tree down. Got to put up some lights. Got to think about what's going to be the best gift to get somebody. I got to get shoe sizes and shirt sizes. And I need a new guitar. Just throwing it out there. Now she's shaking her head. No, that's not going to happen. Yeah, at least I'll throw it out there. Is it a joyful time of year or a stressful time? Is it a happy time or is it nerve-wracking? What could put a damper on your holiday cheer? What could put a damper on your cheerful disposition and the happiness that you're going into this great Christmas season with? Your calendar is filled up with friends and family and events and shopping and football games. Christmas season is really an Advent season. Advent means an anticipation, right? We're anticipating. We're anticipating Christmas Day. We're anticipating Christmas Eve. Advent, we're anticipating Christ. The Messiah, the Emmanuel. Christmas is about Christ. It's not about football games and parties and leftovers and cookies and gifts. It's about Christ. Christmas is about Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us, living among us, walking with us. That's the Christmas celebration. I hope we can adopt into our own lives, may over the course of this season, that we can place Christ in our lives and in our hearts every single day. And today, we lit the candle of hope. It's the Advent of hope. Our reading was about Joseph. Joseph. Joseph doesn't really stay in the spotlight very long. And we really don't know much about Joseph. But I think he was hopeful. I get the sense that he was hopeful. Hopeful for what? Well, hopeful for a wedding that's coming up. Hopeful for a beautiful young virgin bride. Hopeful about a future and a life. We also learn some things about Joseph as well. We learn that Joseph's going to have to deal with some stuff. Anybody ever have to deal with any stuff? Personal stuff, family stuff, heartbreaking stuff, dream-breaking stuff. Joseph finds himself in a dilemma. And Joseph's a God-fearing man, but still in a dilemma. See, calling yourself a Christian or a God-fearing man doesn't exempt you from dilemma. In fact, it may cause more. It certainly did Joseph. Here's your first one, that God is with us in our dilemmas. Believing God is with you in the midst of your dilemma is a pretty tall order, especially when you see all your hopes and all your dreams plummet into destruction. When you're hurting, when you're isolated, when you're in pain, when you're in despair, when you're depressed, when you're angry, when you're in grief, when you're confused, it's difficult to see that God is with you in the midst of the dilemma. Joseph is pledged to be married to a beautiful girl. All the arrangements are set. Ceremony's going to take place any time now. All the hopes and the anticipation of a great day would soon be here. So excited to start a life together. Probably would stay right there in Nazareth. He's got a great carpentry business. He's going to keep being that. Surrounded by family, surrounded by friends. Got hopes, got dreams, all going to happen. It's going to be happily ever after. And then... God ruined everything. God ruined everything. There's your next one. God will ruin your plans. God will wreck your plans, especially when he sees that your plans are about to wreck you. Do you know if anybody's logged into the Wi-Fi in this sanctuary, what it's called? It's called the rec room. Appropriately so, because God will wreck you here. He will ruin your plans. Joseph and Mary had some plans. They had good plans. God had better plans. Mary's pregnant by God himself. What's going on in Joseph? I don't think I like this God much anymore. Interfering in my life this way? Interfering in my life this intimate way, this most personal of ways, taking things from me, adding dilemmas and problems to my life, complications? What kind of God is this? So much for my dreams. So much for the things I wanted. So much for all my hopes. They're all washed away. So much for my happily ever after. It's a stab into Joseph's heart. Deep into Joseph's heart. Listen, by God. Pain, betrayal, disrespect from this woman. Joseph's upset. He's angry. God has driven a wedge right in the midst of their relationship. Bam. Joseph wanted no part of Mary, wanted no part of her escapades, no part of her lies, no part of her deceit, no part of her cheating ways. She's a tramp. She's a harlot. He's a dignified, God-fearing man. I don't know. I'm not getting hooked up with that. As a matter of fact, I could have her stoned to death, and justifiably so. The law is on my side. Why not just take her out of her misery? Why not just take her out of my misery? Joseph's caught in a dilemma. He's caught in a dilemma. And he's trying to choose between some undesirable choices. He don't like any of the choices. Trying to select the best options when your emotions are all in play. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. There's no winning in this situation. There's no escape in this situation. You're caught between love and hate. You're caught between dreams and hopelessness. Caught between grace and vengeance, mercy and punishment. Ever been there? Ever had the challenge of a dilemma? The anxiety of a dilemma? This is deep into the very heart, mind, and soul of someone. This isn't choosing what color car to drive. Joseph had some choices. I could marry her quickly, raise the child as his own, live a lie for the rest of his life. He could publicly humiliate her as an adulteress. He could do that. He could even have her killed, stoned to death, an honor killing, justifiably so. He could send her away, let her family deal with her. Quietly, just go the other way. Your life's going to be tough as it is, just go. And we read, and we kind of know Joseph's choice. He's just going to quietly go another direction. Just let her go another direction. Would you choose that in a betrayal? Would you choose that when you've been crushed of your hopes and your dreams, everything that you thought was to be? He reacts with mercy. He reacts with grace. This speaks to the character of Joseph. This kind of shows the type of man he is. He makes a compassionate choice. He makes an empathetic choice, a kind-hearted choice, a loving choice, even a well-thought-out choice. So, did he make that choice before or after the angel came and told him about Mary? He made that choice before he ever heard from God. After he had considered this, after he had made a choice, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Was it the character of the man that drew God to him? Was it the character of Moses? Was it the character of Noah? Was it the character of Abraham that drew God to involve them and move in their hearts? His personality was such that he chose sympathy. He chose compassion. He chose kindness. He chose grace. He chose the loving thing to do before God intervened. It speaks wide and loud about his character. Sometimes our own lives get into places where we don't quite know what to do. We don't know which way to turn. We find ourselves in those dilemmas, physical dilemmas, emotional dilemmas, all kinds of mental stresses going on. And sometimes you're like steering a parked car. I go this way, do I go that way, do I go this way, which way should I go? Should I go that way? If I go this way, I'm going to do this. I got all those. And if I go this way, I'm going to do that. Should I go this way? Should I go that way? Should I go this way? And you're stuck. You feel stuck. To follow the scriptural example, make a choice. To follow the scriptural example, start the journey. Then allow the Spirit of God to be able to adjust your sails, direct your path. Out of your character, make a choice. Out of your heart, make a choice. Out of your integrity, out of who you are. Do you even know who you are? Liar, cheater, swindler, backstabber, gossiper? Do you even know who you are? And the choices that are divine in your character that will draw God to you? Do you even know? Spending hours in prayer, watching and waiting for God. Waiting for God to tell you, which way do I go? Which way do I go? Which way do I go? You are sitting around waiting for God. He's waiting for you. Show me who you are. Show yourself who you are. Here's your next slide. God will wait for you to make a choice. Apples, oranges, apples, oranges, apples, oranges, apples, oranges, apples, oranges, red, blue, red, blue. Make a choice. Allow God to move in your life. You can choose to reject Christ. It has eternal consequences. You can choose to steal. You can choose to commit adultery. You can choose. And no decision is a decision. See, these are defining moments of your character. And do you choose out of revenge, vengeance? Do you choose out of confusion and disillusionment and anger and bitterness and resentment? Or do you choose out of something deeper in your character in the depths of your soul? Choices show a lot about who you are. They reveal things about who you are to you and to others. Your choices reveal things. They show things about who you are, to yourself, and to others. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We discussed this in Sunday school. A little secret about God that you should be very aware of. You might even want to write it down. God is patient. God is patient. He will wait and wait and wait and pace the floors, waiting for the prodigal to return. He will wait, he will wait, he will wait. And oftentimes what he's waiting is for you to come into your right mind. He's waiting for you to make the choice. He's waiting for you to do something, will you? That I might intervene and show you. And then some people stale and stagnant in their walk. God is patient. He's waiting and waiting and waiting. The moment that a choice is made, the moment that you start moving in a direction, God moves. God intervenes. See, there's a divine intervention that takes place in Joseph's life after he's made the decision. After he's made the decision, after his character shines through, after he wrestles and with despair and wrestles with the choices that he has to make, God deals with Joseph after the decision, after the action, after the resolution. Do you ever find yourself maybe in an emotional and a physical kind of a dilemma and in a circumstance, and then you kind of react to the circumstance, and then you come around to calming down, and then maybe responding to the situation? You're familiar with what I'm saying, right? Something hits you, and you just go into mode, right? Oh, I can't believe this. I can't. And then you move into this. You had some little time to think about it, or right? You had to mull it over, and then you wrestle with it, and right. And you. We've all kind of been, right? So. Oftentimes what's happening is people are reacting when they should be responding. So if you were sick and a doctor gave you some medication, said, here's some antibiotic for you, right? Come back in a couple days and we'll run some tests. And you come back in a couple days and he says, hey, you know, you're reacting to the medication. Or you come back in a couple days and he says, oh, hey, you're responding to the medication. Which one do you want to hear? You're responding to the medication. I'm not reacting to it. Breaking out in hives and rashes and everything. You're reacting to the medication. You're responding to the medication. Your body's responding. And oftentimes we will react to situations we should be responding. Joseph reacted. He calmed down, made some choices. God intervened. I could promise you, if you've ever been there and you've ever experienced that before, right? And maybe you've had a touch of it before in your life. Get all out there, but then you kind of, right? See, that's in you. The Spirit is in you. It's in you to respond correctly. Sometimes it might take you a little while to get there. And what we need to work on is responding, not reacting, right? More quickly, responding more quickly in grace and mercy and forgiveness and compassion. And are you ready for this? God will deal with each and every one of us according to our choices. Whether you react, whether you respond, whether you choose Christ or not, whether you choose to love or choose to hate, whether you choose anger or you choose peace, God will respond based on our choices. Joseph had no doubt that he had heard from God. No doubt whatsoever. This is not some clever idea that he has about going to Mary. This is not some, you know, upper level consciousness that he becomes aware of. It's not even a reaction to stale matzah crackers. He hears from God. Hears from God. It's not speculation. When God gets a hold of you, you know it. And you're different. And you changed. Joseph has an encounter. He has an encounter with the master of the universe. He has an encounter with God. And there's no question in Joseph's heart, in his mind, and his soul that he has heard from God. God spoke and changed his heart, changed his mind, changed the very depths of his soul. See, when you have an encounter with God, you change. Otherwise, it's just a thought process that you're having. Or you're having a bad day because you ate some bad turkey. You cannot be the same after you've had an encounter with a living God. God intervened into Joseph's life for a purpose, a big purpose, a world-saving purpose, a human race purpose. And God called both Mary and Joseph to the task. God called them both, and he intervened into their lives. Joseph's caught in a dilemma, and he makes a decision, and God changes his mind, changes his heart, changes his soul. Can God change your mind about anything? Do you already think you know it all? Have you been around the spiritual life sometimes for so long you don't even know the entire truth? You're stuck in reacting. You're stuck in the emotion. You're reacting when you should be responding. Has God intervened in your life? Has he changed you in some real way? If you can't write down, I don't know that he has. Are you still stuck in the law and missing the love? Are you still stuck in the despair and missing the hope? Are you still stuck in the struggle and missing all the mercy? Has God spoken into your heart? You cried, you repented, you believed. Why would God be interested in you? Why would God be interested in your spouse, in your marriage, in your job? Why would he be interested in this church? Why would God intervene in your life? Why has God intervened in your life? Why are you here now listening to this message, this moment, this point? Perhaps that you might make a right choice. Perhaps that you might respond instead of react. Perhaps that you might accept his will for your life, even at the expense of your own dreams and hopes. Even when you think you're in a dilemma, God is not. When you think your life is in turmoil, God is not. God is with us. In the midst of our dilemma, in the midst of our troubles and struggles and problems. And then your next one, God is with us in our decisions. He's with us in those decisions. Maybe, just maybe, that you might accept his will for your life and for your existence. So much fun for Joseph to think about his beautiful bride and all the hope that he had and the life that he was planned and ruined. So much he wanted to do, so many hopes and aspirations, and God ruined them all. Can God affect your decisions like he did Joseph? All hope is gone. My life is over. It's actually just the beginning. Do we understand what it means to die to ourselves, that Christ might live within us? God had something else in mind for Joseph and Mary. And did they accept the will of God for both of them in their lives? Yeah, they did. They served as great examples for that. Can you accept the will of God in your life? When God doesn't do what we want, it gets pretty tough. It can get tough. But when we don't do what God wants, it gets a lot tougher. Here's your next one. It's only when we decide to do what God wants, we come into alignment. Only when we find, I'm waiting for you to make a choice. I'm waiting for you to make a choice. Will you come in alignment with what I'm trying to do? And the mercy and the grace and the compassion and the salvation and the reaching people? And will you come into, or will you choose your hope, your want, your dream? See, and not that it's easy when we decide to come in alignment with God. Not that it's easy. Not that it will eliminate suffering, but you will be well within the will of God for your life. See, and the real scenario is that there are many people that do not wish to follow the will of God. They don't even believe there is a God. They're humanists. They're evolutionists. They don't even believe. They won't follow. They're not interested. They don't want to. And so many choose to follow their own way, their own desires, their own selfish choices, and they will stick to them, and they will die in them. Would things have been different if Joseph had said, no, God, I'm not going to take Mary as my wife? If Joseph had said, I hate God for this. I hate for what he's doing, and he's crushing my dreams and my hopes and all my ambitions. Would things have been different for Mary, for Joseph? Would they have been different for you? See, God made a decision, didn't he? God made a decision. Long, long time ago, made a decision. He made a choice. He would choose Mary and Joseph. He made a choice about them. Knowing them, he made that choice. Listen, not in spite of who they were, because of who they were. Because of who they were. God-fearing, honorable, people that would respond to God. God made a choice, didn't he, when he chose you? God made a decision, didn't he, when he chose you, when he revealed himself to you? God made a decision about you to involve you in his plan, to include you in his family. Listen carefully. Not in spite of who you are, but because of who you are. How does it feel knowing God chose you? How does that feel? God, it's magnificent, wonderful, amazing, universe-creating God chose you. I can barely take it in. Worthy of him even. I'm not worthy to tie the laces of his shoes. Now I want to ask you something. It's pretty cool. God chose you. It's pretty awesome, in fact, that he would think this much of you. Here's the question I have for you. Can God ruin your plans? Can God ruin your plans? Can God do the work that he wants to do in you and through you? Will you allow God, the Holy Spirit of God, in you to work out through you? He'll often lead you into real tough dilemmas and real disarming circumstances and situations to show himself strong in your life. That it will be less of you and so much more of him. And your light shines and displays to a world an amazing and an awesome God. This is what he wants to do and why he chose you. Not in spite of you, but because of who you are. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are loftier than ours. We can believe that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He didn't call you to fulfill your purpose. He called you to fulfill his purpose. Christmas happened because Joseph trusted God. Christmas happened because Mary trusted God. It didn't look anything like they wanted it to look. Their marriage didn't turn out to be anything like they wanted it to turn out to be. Nothing like they ever imagined. They just believed God. That was the end of the statement. Their own lives served a bigger purpose than they could have ever planned. Their lives served a bigger purpose than they could have ever imagined. Their lives served the Lord, served the community, served humanity. Their lives served you. They had different hopes and they had different dreams, yet they opened up their lives to something very mystical, something very supernatural, and bigger than themselves. Reconciliation came as a result of trusting God. Unity came as a result of believing God, trusting their creator, trusting in the supernatural, believing that there was more to life than their own selfish hopes and ambitions. We can learn a lot about our own hopes and ambitions and our own hopes and our own dreams. And here's your next slide. What is your hope this Christmas? Are you just thinking about presents? Another guitar? Another shirt? Man, I hope I get the Xbox I wanted. What are you hoping in this Christmas? God's going to be with us in direction. There's your next one. God with us in direction. What God asked Joseph to do seemed relatively simple, but it created a lot of problems. It created a major dilemma. He had made a choice based on his character, and God intervened and said, I am with you. Oh. And every time you compare manger scenes, right, you'll see a lot of manger scenes this Christmas season. In all the manger scenes, you know, Joseph's always kind of hanging around the stable, you know. Sometimes he's up close to the manger, you know. Mary's always got like a halo around her or something. You know, the wise men always got their, you know, their shepherding rod and staff. The wise men always got their gifts of frankincense and myrrh, and they're always standing around. And there's this beautiful baby Jesus with a dirty diaper. That's the reality. There's always a nice manger scene to be seen and to look at. And Joseph just kind of seems like, I don't know. Is he significant there? There's not a lot told about him. There's not a lot spoken about him. He always looks happy and joyful. His role is hugely significant and important. He had the role of taking care of Mary and Jesus. How significant is that? Taking care of others. See, Jesus had a really good example in his earthly father. Not in spite of who he was, but because of who he was. Jesus had a really good example in his earthly father. How about taking care of the people that God has placed in our lives? Those that would wander into the church not quite having their act together. Those that wander in maybe not quite still searching and seeking and not know how to spell Deuteronomy. How about those folks, right? See, this baby Jesus, not Joseph and Mary's idea. Not their idea. But God intervened. God showed himself. They were asked to care for something bigger than themselves. How many things in your own life would you say, not my doing? Like, do you ever hear the waitress at a restaurant? Not my table. You've been sitting there for 20 minutes. Excuse me, not my table. Not my doing. Not my mess to clean up. How many of those things would you actually even say are a gift from God? Aging parents? Spouse with dementia? Alcoholic spouse? Drug addicted children? An old house that's fallen apart? Old car that won't start? No money for Christmas presents? If this is a gift, God, I'm not interested. Not what they wanted, not what they imagined. And if these things are in your life, can they be in your life for a purpose that might be bigger than yourself? And if this is a gift from God, how do you treat it? If God is working with you, if God is working in you, and you find yourself in dilemmas and in troubled circumstances, are you affecting and infecting the circumstance? Or is the circumstance infecting and affecting you? How are you managing? How are you coping? How are you dealing with the dilemmas God is placing in front of you? Are we reacting when we should be responding? And if it's a gift, how do you care for it? How do you care for the people that come? How do we care for each other? Just us. Just the, 100 people that are here, 80 people. How do we care for each other? This is the example. I promise you, if you can't do it here, I ain't doing it out there. How do we do that? See, like a church with a great sound system, who really cares? A church with a handsome, good-looking pastor, who really cares? A church with a cool grand piano, an awesome drum set, who really cares? A church with a cool color scheme, who really cares? A church with a good social media presence, who really cares? A church that loves people? Ooh. A church that thinks more about others than it does itself? Oh, hey now. That's a church that I would go to. That's a church I'd belong to. That's a church I'd join. Care about others? See, there's your next slide. Do we care about what God cares about? Do we care about what God cares about? Joseph and Mary didn't care about their reputation. Joseph and Mary didn't care anymore about what people thought of them. Joseph and Mary didn't care about the gossip that was going on around them. They didn't care about what their families might say or what their families might think. They cared about what God said to them. They responded to what God had spoken to them for their reasons, for their specific purpose, for their reason for existence. What's your reason for existence? God is speaking to you. What is he saying to you? And God is right here, right? He's already on the move. He's already fulfilling his plans. He's already made a decision about you. He's already made a choice. He chose you. Ultimately, I know this. All the wrestling and everything that you're going to do, I know this. And this is the revelation of God's desire for you. If you stay away from this choice, you will stray away from God. Here's your next slide. We have Christmas because God cares about people. It's all going to boil down. All the stuff, the dilemmas, all going to boil down. All the circumstances, all the scenarios, all the fears, all the competitors, all the stuff. It's all going to boil down to people. God cares about people. So maybe this Christmas, let's care about Christ in Christmas more than we care about balloons. Maybe this Christmas we care more about people than we care about the price of the present. Maybe this Christmas we care more about Christ than the color of the ribbons and the bows or wearing the right clothes. Can we bring some Christmas hope into someone else's life? I pray that we would do that. Christmas arrived because Joseph cared about Mary and Jesus. Christmas arrived because Mary cared about Joseph and Jesus. Christmas arrived because Joseph and Mary cared about Jesus. And Christmas arrived because God cared about you. Let me pray for you. Father, in this place, these moments, I'm so grateful for the way in which you intervene in our lives. And Father, may we see, as you intervene in our lives, Father, how you are at work. And Father, some of us, we just need a gentle whisper, and we know we've heard from you. Some of us, we might need a good punch in the face. So Father, I don't know, but I pray you would reveal yourself to people very clearly, that they would know that you have chosen them, that you have cared for them, that you have loved them, and you have designed them for a purpose bigger than themselves. And Father, I pray that you would fill them with all the mercy and the grace and the compassion and the love that you have. Father, continue to guide and lead us that we might bring you honor and glory and praise. And Father, even as we look towards communion and remembrance of what Jesus has done for us, may we receive the forgiveness and may we give some away. May we receive all the grace and the love that you show us and may we give some away. May this Christmas, this Advent season, be hopeful that we do your will in our lives. In the name of your Son, I would pray. Amen.